All right, well, we're in a passage today that I think it connects with a theme that you hear mentioned a lot today. One of the things that you'll hear people talk about today is wanting to have a positive influence on others. I kind of hear a little bit of a buzzword, make a difference. Anybody heard that? Not just here at our church. I know that's part of our mission statement. There's a reason that's part of our mission statement. But do you hear people talk about that a lot? Want to make a difference? You know, you'll hear it used in so many different ways, and I think one of the things that maybe it's a little bit of a trend is you'll see people that they've got the big job, the big salary, and they end up leaving that to go do something else, maybe it's to take care of orphans in another country. Maybe it's to help with poverty somewhere. One notable example of that would be Maya Moore, who is arguably one of the greatest athletes of all time, women's basketball player, won more college championships, professional titles than any other player. Incredible track record, and yet she stepped away from the game that she was dominating so that she could help someone who'd been falsely accused of a crime. She said, in her words, she wanted to put actions to the words of social justice. Really amazing that she would just leave all that to go and help somebody who couldn't represent themselves. You hear it in a lot of different ways, and I think that this desire to want to make a difference, I think it reflects the way that God has created us. He created us to have dominion. He created us to shape and influence the world, but one of the ways we have dominion is by shaping and influencing other people. And if we're created to be in His image, then one of the greatest ways we can shape people is to help them to come to know their Creator, their Maker, to help them to know the one whose image they're created in. They're created in His likeness. And so I think we all have a desire to do that, but a lot of times when we're not doing that, we start to feel a void in our lives. We feel a lack of something. You know, when it's just, I just want to win that next NBA title. I just want to get that next big paycheck. There's an emptiness in that, and we feel it. We'll search for other ways to do it. I think that it's also, we feel it when we may be doing good things, but we're not connecting with people on a deeper level. You know, the deepest level you can connect with somebody on is their relationship with God. Knowing what they think about God. Knowing how they're doing in their walk with the Lord. That's one of the most fundamental relationships a person has is with God. And so when we start to talk about that, we're talking and connecting on one of the deepest levels of human relationship. So when all we do is talk about the weather, or all we do is talk about sports, we feel a void, right? Don't you feel an emptiness when you're like, man, we've been talking about the kids, taking the kids here and there and doing all this other stuff, but I don't feel like I know you. Sometimes couples will have that conversation, right? I've had that conversation. Any of you had that conversation? You just get busy. She becomes the housemaid, I become the handyman. And we forget, wait, there's a deeper relationship here. I believe that God has created us to have that relationship first and foremost with Him, but also this desire to want to make a difference with others. And one of the biggest ways we make a difference in the lives of others is helping them to come to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, to know Jesus as your Savior. And so I want to look at a passage that connects with that, a passage that helps us to see how we make a difference, helps us to see how to minister to others. I mean, this is part of our mission statement as a church. We want to worship God, love others, make a difference in the world. This passage, I think it helps us to see how we can do that. And I also want to say, I think that this passage, over the last year or so, as we've really been talking about how we move forward as a church and what we need to do, this has been one of the passages that I think it has shaped me more than any other. As we try to understand what is our calling as a church, what do we do? We want to be a church family that knows one another, but we also want to be a people that is going out to shape and help others. As we're in this series, The Way, which we're looking at some of the things that define Jesus' disciples, this is one of the things that we see. They were going out, they were ministering to others. So we want this to be really a way of life, something that we just, not just something we talk about, but something we actually do. We want to put words to the calling to make a difference in others. So we're going to read. This is Luke chapter 10. We're in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 12. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. That's the word of the Lord. All right, so I want to look at a few things that we see in this passage that shape the way we make a difference in the world, that shape how we minister to other people. And the first thing that we want to look at is that we are to go. We go. You see that in this passage. Several times it mentions send. Jesus is sending his disciples out. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. He's sending his disciples out. I mean, it would have been nice just to sit around the feet of Jesus all day long, right? It's not what they're called to do. They're called to tell others about him, called to tell others about what he is doing. He is sending them out. Several times in this passage, it mentions send. And here we also see that he sends them with a sense of urgency. So he's about to go into these towns, and he's saying, you go. Don't worry about grabbing a bag. Don't worry about grabbing your iPhone. Don't worry about all these other things that you might need. Don't even think about snacks. We never take a trip without snacks. And Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about the snacks. Just get to it. Go. Don't even greet people on the way. Go and get into this town. He's sending them out with an urgency. It's a reminder that, you know, if you're called to Jesus, you're going to be sent to somebody. If you're called to him, if you're going to be sent to somebody, it's hard to know Jesus and not want to share that with other people. When you've been in turmoil and anxiety and you've found peace, you want to share that, right? You want to go and tell others. The disciples have found the Messiah. They've seen Jesus do things that has told them that this guy is different. This guy is doing something that we've never seen done before. He's healing people. People that have been lame and crippled and broken are being healed. People that have been demon-possessed. That spiritual oppression is being broken. So they are going out to tell others. Jesus is sending them out. You know, we just finished a series on the book of Acts. We're reminded in that book that one of the ways that Jesus' followers were described is as witnesses. They had seen something and they were going to tell others about it. Same thing for us. If we are believers, we should be sharing about that. We should be telling others about what Jesus has done. We are to go. We also see in this that he sends them out two by two. I think I could do a whole message on just going out two by two. You know, after being here for a few years and kind of being the lone full-time staff guy, to have Dan in the office where we are working together, it's been incredible. I thought there is a lot of wisdom in sending them out two by two. Just the encouragement, the accountability, the learning from one another. We're not alone in serving God. We shouldn't be. That's part of the reason we're here as a church. We want to come alongside each other. God is calling you to do something. You need people around you that are encouraging you and helping you. Reminded in Genesis, when God saw man, he was alone. He said, it's not good for him to be alone. We're created for community. We see that here. He is calling them out. He's calling them to go out in partnership with others. So first part is we go. Second part is we go in dependence. We go in dependence on God. I mean, we see how Jesus is sending them out. He's telling them, verse 4, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. He's completely dependent. I mean, there's just a vulnerability here, right? I don't like borrowing stuff. I never like borrowing things from other people because it's like it puts me at a disadvantage. I'm like, man, I'm needy. I don't like to be needy. I think that just our society just recoils about being needy, right? It's like, if I do that, then I'm gonna owe him. It's like, you don't even want to go borrow a cup of sugar. I'll drive an hour to the store and back just to not have to go and ask somebody for something. There's just a dependence that they are dependent on God to provide for them. But there's also a sense that they are being dependent on the ones that they are going to try and reach. Ever think about that? Being dependent on the person you're trying to serve? You're trying to reach. You know, I was in a Bible study with a few pastors, and we were talking about this passage, and we all said that's the thing that just surprises us so much about his mission, is he sends them out, and they're to be dependent on the people that they're going out to try and tell who Jesus is. And some of the guys were sharing, it's like so often in life, I want to be the one, hey, I'm coming to serve you. I'm coming to tell you good news, and let me do all this stuff for you. And we started thinking how this really inverts that. We've never thought about how in building a relationship, a lot of times, if you really start to form a relationship with somebody, you might ask them for a cup of sugar, right? The disciples needed a place to stay. Hey, I've got some good news to share with you. And hey, by the way, do you mind if I crash in your bedroom? I mean, that's crazy. But it also shows that there is a trust that they have with the other person. Jesus is sending them out completely vulnerable, completely dependent. And yes, there are other times that he's going to tell them, hey, take provisions. And we're going to see in the book, we saw in the book of Acts that at times the mission went forward. There was a lot of planning and preparation. And other times, they were just fleeing persecution. They were fleeing for their lives. And as they went, they're telling others who Jesus is. You see both of those. So I know some of you, you're getting nervous. It's like, wait a minute, does that mean we never plan? Well, there are times to plan, but even your planning, you've got to be completely dependent on God. But one of the things this is showing us is that sometimes when we go in dependence, we go completely dependent on God, but sometimes building a relationship with somebody, it means that you know them well enough to ask them for things. You know, sometimes we hide in our houses and we feel lonely and depressed, but we can't imagine going to ask somebody for help. Can't imagine when maybe the kids need a ride somewhere to ask somebody for that. Part of building community is having a relationship with somebody in which you are willing to ask. As we talked about this passage in this group of pastors, we said, you know what, that's something that as we're talking to people, sometimes we just have needs. Sometimes we just have a need for companionship. Hey, will you come over and can we grill out? I need to put the fence up. Will you help me with that? There's just a sense of genuine community that is happening here. It's really neat to see that and to think about it. It also, you know, as we go in dependence, we also see Jesus freeing them up. They're dependent, they're vulnerable. It's interesting here. This Jesus is telling a group of Jews that would be very particular about what they ate, right? No bacon, no seafood, all the good stuff, you know. It's not kosher, so don't eat that. But as he sends them out, he's saying, eat whatever's set before you. If you go into a house, if they receive you, hey, go in and don't worry about it. Eat, drink, and be merry. That'd be unthinkable for some of these Jews that Jesus is changing their customs. He's setting them free to be fully engaged in the mission that he's sending them out on. He's freeing them up. And it's also neat to think about this. Verse 3, Jesus says, go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Not necessarily what I'd want to hear as my boss is sending me out into the field, right? Hey, I'm sending you out. What's it, you know, boss, what's this going to be like? Well, it's going to be like me putting a lamb in the midst of wolves, right? Do you want to hear that the first day on your job? New job, this is what it's going to be like. Completely dependent on him. He's saying it's going to be hard. As we try and build a church here, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be things that happen. We've got to depend on him. We've got to trust him. And it's also neat to think about what stage in the development of the disciples would you say this is? Do you feel like they've graduated college? Maybe elementary school, is like maybe high school, maybe, yeah, this is early on. This is early in Jesus' ministry. And he's sending them out. So often I think about sharing my faith, and I think the way I've taught that at times is like, hey, you need to complete all the classes. You need to complete your master's level classes, and then you've graduated to being able to make a difference in the lives of other people. All the disciples know here is, This is the Messiah. Like, they haven't even gotten educated on his death for their sins, on the fullness of what it means to follow him. And he's already sending them out. A lot of times we feel like we just need more and more education. I think sometimes we may not be depending on God. I think sometimes we may just be coming up with an excuse to not go, to not talk about it. I get a little uncomfortable talking to people about their relationship with God, so I must just need more education. Sometimes we just need boldness. We just need obedience. We need to follow him. It's so neat that the disciples, they're being sent out here. They are going to make a difference in the lives of other people by sharing about who Jesus is. That they don't know him in all his fullness, but they know, man, we've seen the lame healed, the blind see, those that are demon-possessed are being set free. All kinds of things are happening in this guy. Let me tell you about it. You don't need to be a PhD in order to make a difference in somebody's life. You just need to know Jesus. And you may be at a point, you know, Brian shared his testimony. He's talking about it was hard at first to, you know, some people didn't understand what was going on. And he probably couldn't articulate it fully enough. But he could probably say, I know a peace now that I've never known before. Man, you share that. You know, very new believer. You can encourage other people. Third thing to see is that we go in dependence to share about the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing. We are going to share about the kingdom of God. We're to go in dependence. What do we talk about? What do I do once I get there? I mean, you may be running out all excited and be like, I don't know what to do. Or you may be thinking, I'm kind of scared to go because I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about. Talk about the kingdom of God. That's the good news that's here. Verse 9, it says, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. That's the good news right there. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God. I mean, I feel like there's so much anxiety and turmoil in our society today. It's like when I read this, I just think about how good this is. You know, there's a old way in the Middle Ages, there was a way of doing theology. They called it the via negativa. It's Latin. It meant the way of negation. If you want to talk about who God is, you can talk about him by looking out in the world and seeing things that aren't God and describing how they're inadequate to be God. So you could look out, you know, just take a young kid. Hey, here's this young kid. Well, he's not powerful. So that's where he's different than God. God is truly powerful. Maybe you look at some other, maybe a judge in society, and you look, well, you know, he's trying to make right judgments, but he doesn't know everything. He's inadequate. God is sovereign. So this judge is, he's not sovereign. He's not omniscient. God is omniscient. He knows everything. I think you can do the same thing as you think about the kingdom of God today. As you look out and you see all the problems that are going on in the world, as we see sickness, well, you know what? In the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be no more sickness. As you look out and you see spiritual oppression, in the kingdom of God, there's going to be no more oppression. As you look out in the world and you see people struggling with anxiety, despondence, suicidal thoughts, those are going to be taken away in the kingdom of heaven. As you look and you see rulers that are trying to rule as best they can, but they're also deeply inadequate. God, in all his omniscience, all his perfection, knows exactly how to rule the world in all its fullness. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's what's coming. And so we see that now. The disciples were going to say, hey, we're seeing the beginning of this. We're seeing a change. We're seeing that God is doing something in the world. They're announcing this. They're telling, this is the good news. And the good news is that this kingdom, right now, it's coming into hearts. You know, we want to see it come through all of our land and all its fullness. But right now, God's kingdom is expanding by coming into the hearts of people. And that's what they are telling. You know, if you want to be a part of a nation, you usually have to go through some kind of process. In the United States, if you're going to become a citizen of the United States, you have to go through a process of naturalization, right? You've got to fill out paperwork. You've got to pay a fee. You've got to complete fingerprints and all these other things. And then one of the final things that you do is that you go and you take an oath of allegiance, an oath of allegiance to the United States. And you become a citizen of this nation. You were a citizen of another nation, but now you've gone through this process, and now you can be a citizen of the United States. You know, in the Bible, we see that we all turned away from God. We turned away from his good and perfect plan. We went our own way. We are citizens of this world. And if we want to turn and experience God's reign and his fullness, then we have to give our allegiance to him. We have to believe in him. We have to believe in Jesus, trust in him. And the good news is that when we do that, we can be citizens of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom is in us. And we have hope that one day God will call us to be in his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We can have that because of what Jesus has done. That's what the disciples are going to share. They're sharing that good news with other people. And it means that all those pockets of darkness that may be in our hearts, the kingdom of light is coming in and he's changing us. He's shaping us. You know, we can go around and talk about what God is doing in the world. We can also talk about how God is coming in us, how he is changing our own hearts, where there may have been turmoil and anxiety, and now there's peace. Maybe there was anger and rage, and now there's kindness and mercy, because God is at work. He's changing us. The disciples were to announce the good news that this kingdom is coming, that it's coming in Jesus. They could talk about what they had seen. And as we think about going out, we need to talk about the same thing. We want to talk about the kingdom of God. How our hope is in one day when Jesus returns, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And we're going to see God reign over the earth in all his glorious splendor. All his glorious wisdom. All his glorious might. It's going to be a perfect world. That's our hope. So all these problems that we face in life are going to end one day. But we can also tell people that we've tasted of it. I've seen it at work in my life. We can talk about how God is helping us in our weaknesses, how he's helping us in our insecurities, how he's helping us. Maybe there's those times you just want to run away and hide. But he's giving you hope. He's giving you purpose. He's giving you meaning and direction. That's the kingdom of God. It's coming in your life. As disciples, we need to know what the kingdom of God is. We need to know what it looks like. And we need to be ready to talk about it, right? ready to share it with others. You know, this passage has been one that has been shaping me and changing me, and I'm realizing just the place of sharing about what God is doing in my life. I mean, that's what the disciples are doing. They're going out, they're talking about what God is doing. And how a lot of times I just don't talk about that. I can talk about the weather, I can talk about sports. The other day I was out and I was talking to one of my neighbors, and we were just talking about all the stuff that's going wrong on our houses. And I realized, man, one of the things that has taught me to long for heaven is owning a house. Can I get an amen? I mean, all the things that go wrong, things fall apart, just like, man, one day this curse is going to be gone. There's going to be no more thorns and thistles. Man, what hope. And after we got done talking, I thought, you know what? I could have shared about that. I should have shared. Not just, it's easy to complain. It's easy to talk about the hardships. But man, I could have said, man, my hope is one day all these are going to be taken away. What good news that in Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is coming. We need to share about those things and talk about it. Sometimes we can be more aware of just the bad things, or just commiserate with others with worldly responses. Or we can share about hope. We can share about the kingdom of heaven and what God is doing. We want to share that with others and talk about it. We want to have an awareness of the kingdom of heaven in this world so that we can share it with others. We want to have an awareness of what the hope in eternity, how that shapes us now. We've got to talk about that. We want to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Fourth thing we say, we go in dependence to share about the kingdom of God, and we do that with a person of peace. A person of peace. First heard that in a Bible study. I was like, I've never heard that term in my life. Anybody heard that? Some people have heard that. Just started changing how I think about what we're called to do. Verse 5, it says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. They were going out looking for someone that they could share with. Now, Jesus made it clear in the beginning that not everybody is going to receive what you have to say. But he says some people will. If they show an interest, stay there. Talk to them. If a person receives what you have to say, there's an openness to what you're doing. Stay with them. Stay there. Talk to them. This person of peace is someone that is reciprocating. You know, the disciples probably came in and pronounced peace on the house, but blessed it in some way. And this person showed an interest. Didn't say, get out of here, right? I mean, you think about going down your neighborhood, you come to one house, hey, bless this house. I could think of some of my neighbors that might have some choice words if you say that. There might be some others that would be interested. What are you doing? What are you talking about? How can I be blessed by God? There'd be an interest in that, and they'd stay with them. You know, I was thinking, how do I describe this person of peace? I was actually thinking about Dan Webb and his attraction to restaurants. If you know Dan, you know that Dan, he likes to eat. But he's also new to town, so he's always looking for places to go. And so a lot of times I'm in a conversation or a group, and somebody will mention a restaurant, and man, it went and had a great burger the other night. Dan pulls out his phone, hey, wait a minute, what kind of burger? Was it a smash burger? Was it a big, you know? And starts getting all the details. He's jotting them down. He's like, I'm not committed to going to this place, but I'm checking it out right now. I'm trying to see, is this somewhere that I'd want to go? Wait, you got Italian sausage? You know, it's. I love it. You know, it's. There's an interest, and when you mention something that he's interested in, he wants to know more. This is what Jesus is sending them out. Look for people that have a spiritual appetite. Look for people that have a spiritual interest. You know, this is something that I think we should be praying for. Are we praying to interact with people? Praying for people that have a spiritual hunger. I think this is one of the biggest things for our church. You know, as I've thought about just our nation, our community here, I thought, man, it seems like there's such a small appetite for spiritual things. We have filled up with everything else. We've filled up with all the other stuff. We've got the best of everything else. We've got a void in our hearts, and we're trying to fill it with everything else other than the one we were created for. Do we have that hunger to know God? Do we have that hunger to keep learning from Him? I think it's also an encouragement, you know, where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Are you eager to know Him? You know, sometimes it's more about the direction we're heading than the precise location that we're at. Sometimes you might be in a really bad location, but you've finally gotten turned in the right direction, and you're starting to get some movement in that way. Sometimes you might be at a better place, but you're just completely stagnant. You're not growing. You're not looking for ways to grow and be shaped by God. After that, you know, where are you in your journey? Do you still have that interest in knowing God and pursuing Him? Sometimes it doesn't matter where you're at, but it's the direction you're heading. At some point, you've got to cross the threshold from just being a person of peace to someone who has truly trusted in Jesus. But sometimes it's about the direction you're heading. But even as believers, we have to ask ourselves, you know, sometimes we can be so quick to point out maybe the faults of other people or where they're inadequate, and we have to ask ourselves, do I have that same attitude? If someone were to look at me, would they see someone that is pursuing God with all their heart? Or they see someone that is just kind of stagnant and lukewarm? We can't go grow comfortable and just say, hey, I've done that. No, we've got to keep pursuing God. We've got to keep going after Him. It's not something we just do once and then we're done. We want to be pursuing Him consistently. I think a challenge to us as a church is to be praying about this, to be praying for God to bring maybe a person of peace into your life. Maybe be praying for Him to bring a person of peace into your workplace or your home or whatever you're doing. If you want to be used by God, you want to have somebody that you can talk about what God is doing in the world, pray for it. I think a lot of times we don't have because we don't ask. This is something we can be praying about, like we're praying for our 401k, like you're praying for the new car. Man, let's be praying passionately that God would draw people to Himself, that He would draw people to our church. But we also, you know, we want to pray that God would draw people in here, but we also need to be going out. Well, the challenge to us as a church is, are we going out? We've got a diagram that I was going to show. You know, as we think about our church, you know, we want to be a church family where we really know one another. We're here to support one another. But we also need to be going out, right? Sometimes people, hey, you're talking a lot about going out. Well, we're talking about that because I think we're weak in that area. I'm weak in that area. We want to do both of these. We want to hold them hand in hand. You know, one of the things that has changed, a lot of churches are recognizing a need to change how they do ministry. And a big reason for that is more and more people would say we are a post-Christian society. Just don't have as many people running into the church. You know, one of the things that defines maybe an older way of ministry is the Field of Dreams comment. Everybody know Field of Dreams? What's the famous line from Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. Yes, I think everybody maybe over the age of 35 got that. If you build it, they will come. Yeah, it's a popular movie. You know, if you build it, they're going to come. And a lot of church ministry has been done that way. Hey, if we build it, they're going to come. I was actually talking to a guy I know, Lawrence. He planted a church just outside of Raleigh. He planted a church, started off with about 30 or 40 people, and said, we are going to be a church. We're going to be trying to go to all the people that don't have a church. He's like, I don't need to build a church based on trying to draw people from another church. We need to go to those that don't have a church. And he started doing that, and his church started growing. You know, went from 30 or 40, maybe to 100, and then I think they got to 150 or so. And just a lot of the challenges that you have with a startup church, they needed a place to meet. Well, they had another church reach out to them and contact them and say, hey, we need some advice. You're growing. Will you come and check out what we're doing? So went and met with this church. They had been a struggling church. They had a phenomenal building, piece of property, but it was old and dated. So they just sold everything, sold off the land, and they went, got a smaller piece of property, and built just a state-of-the-art facility. They said, if we build it, people are going to come. They didn't change any of their internal programs. They didn't change any of their habits with life. And after about 12 months, they recognized that they were going under, that all the money had run out. Actually, talking to my friend about what they needed to do, they said, "Hey, will you come? You need a place to meet. Will you come and just, you know, we'll join you?" And he said, "You know what? We've got to get traction with these things. If you guys want to come and be a part of this, we'll do it. We need a place to meet." And so they end up just completely giving this building to Lawrence and his friend, Lawrence and his church. And I was talking to him, I was like, that is a really cool story. But it kind of makes me sick a little bit that you just, you know, you got going and just all this stuff was handed to you. He laughed. He said, "I know, isn't it great?" Well, that's really cool. Just the king being kingdom-minded, both of them, you know, church being open-handed with things, but trying to move forward. We need to be going out. We need to be sharing the faith. We can't just wait for people to come in. Your neighbors probably aren't one day just going to come up to you and be like, "Hey, I've really been thinking I need a church. You need to think about, are we going out to share the good news with them?" There's so many people out there that may never walk in these doors. Maybe with you connecting with them over dinner, that may be the first step. May just be you getting to know them. Maybe you're asking them spiritual questions. Just ask them, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" Praying for God's blessing, just genuinely praying for them. Praying for God's hand to be on them. Get to know them. Maybe ask them, if God were to do a miracle in your life, what would it be? You know how to pray for them, right? Maybe as you start talking about things, you can share, "Hey, can I tell you what the Bible says about that?" Maybe you start doing that with your own family. Start branching out from there. If we want to be people that are making a difference, it starts with our friends, starts with our marriages, in our families, with our kids. Let's talk about the things that we're going through. We can't just ignore those. We talk about them. And that just starts to flow over where we're doing life like that. This is the good news that we have as followers of Christ. We don't have to move to the other side of the world to invest our lives in something that's of significance. We can do it right here. And we can be investing our lives in the thing that is the most significant thing a person will ever encounter, their relationship with God Himself. On the flip side, you can go to the other side of the world. And you can do that, but if you're not engaging people on the deepest level of human relationship, you're going to feel empty. You're going to feel lost. God invites us to know Him, which is amazing in and of itself, but He also invites us to be a part of ministry, a part of what He's doing in the world, where we can share that with others and we can see them grow and be changed by the gospel. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the hope that we have in Christ. For the way knowing Him enriches our life in every possible way. And God, we want to be people that are aware of that. We want to be aware of the hope that You've given to us. And aware of what You've done so that we can share it with others. We want to be quick to do that, God. And I just pray that You would help us to all see how wonderful, how amazing that news is. And God, I just pray that You would help us to follow You in that path. Follow You in telling others about who You are. I pray that it would be a way of life. Wouldn't just be something we talk about, but it would be something that we do. We pray for that, God. I also want to pray for those. Maybe they're just sensing their need to be dependent on You, their need to learn from You. God, I pray that You would help them right now. Pray You'd encourage them, maybe not necessarily where they're at, but the direction they're heading. I pray that You would just encourage them and strengthen them in that. And God, I also want to pray for those, maybe they have a heart. They want to be used by You. They want to reach others. Just want to pray for them. Actually, I want to pray for you. If you're there and you say, feel a burden to go and share. Maybe you don't know what to do, but you just have a burden to do that. Will you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you. We want to be a church that is ministering to others, and we want to be praying for people to do it. Will you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you. You just feel the need to share with others and have an influence on them. God, I just pray for those that are lifting their hands right now. I pray that you would give them courage. I pray that they would draw near to you, that they would just experience a closeness that they've not experienced before. And I pray that you would lead them and guide them. I pray you give them words to say. I pray you open their eyes where they can just see your work in their lives and they can share with others what you've done in them. I pray that you would encourage them. Pray that you would strengthen them. Pray for boldness. And I pray that their words would be weighty. I pray that as they speak, people would feel the weight of what they're saying and that they'd want to know more. I pray you just empower them with your Spirit to do what you're calling them to do. And Lord, I want to pray for us as a church as we rebuild and move forward. God, I want to pray that we'd be a place that those people of peace can come, connect with others, and find answers to their questions. We pray that would happen, and we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.